Brent Snavely. He writes for the Detroit Free Press. He's a business writer. Brent, how are you this morning?
All right. How are you doing?
How did I drag you back on after a long holiday?
I don't know. Somehow I feel awake this morning, and I'm surprised about that.
Well, you wrote an interesting story that was in Sunday's Detroit Free Press. The UAW Detroit 3 are preparing to face off around the table. Labor costs, adding more jobs are among the concerns. Talk about this story.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on the show, Tony. One of the things, I mean, obviously this summer is going to be really important with the UAW and the Detroit 3 heading back into contract talks, which will start later on this month. There's going to be a lot different this year than last time around. Automakers are making a profit now, and a lot of workers want their concessions back. But automakers are going to be arguing. They're going to be like saying, "Hey, look, we just got healthy. We just fixed our costs." So there's going to be a big fundamental tension this year, I think, between workers wanting some wages and benefits back, the UAW leadership wanting to gain some jobs in these contract talks, and the automakers saying, "Whoa, hold on, let's not return to." The mistakes we made in the past.
Well, it's going to be interesting to follow this as some of the automakers still owe money that they used to get bailed out. But also, there's still a lot of debt on the horizon when you talk about what retirement funding and health benefits, a lot of issues to talk about.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, one of the issues that also you'll see play out is, at least in one area, it seems the UAW and the Detroit 3 are kind of in agreement that they want to change the profit-sharing formula for hourly workers. In the 90s, the profit-sharing formula was very effective at generating large annual paychecks for the hourly workers, but in the last decade, some companies have only paid out profit sharing once or twice. Meanwhile, on the salaried side, it's been a lower amount of a check, but the salaried folks get profit sharing more frequently. So everybody kind of wants to bring that in alignment in some way, but of course there's a million ways to structure that, and that's where the tension will be on that issue.
Well, your story talks about job commitments will be crucial. And this is something you just mentioned a little bit ago, three Ford, three GM plants. Now, jobs have been being added, so do the unions have really a lot of concerns here?
I think they still do. I mean, what the situation is, it is very different than it was in 2007. There were a lot of plants at risk. Here, you've got some plants at risk, but I think more importantly, you've got a lot of plants that, through all the restructuring and downsizing of the last couple of years, there's empty space. There's empty space. There's empty facilities. They may be on one shift or two shift rather than three shifts, and there's a lot of product commitments up in the air that, number one, the UAW wants in the U.S., period, U.S. versus, say, Mexico. And number two, once you decide to put it in the U.S., which plant gets the work? So, in Ford's case, for example, I talked to a guy in Brook Park, Ohio. They're doing great. They've got a successful EcoBoost engine that they're making. They're going to get some more work soon, and yet they've got, it's a complex that has two casting plants that have been shut down in recent years, and they'd love to get a four-cylinder engine at that plant, but that four-cylinder engine could be built elsewhere as well. So
what's interesting about the process, too, is contract talks aren't across the board for an individual company. They're negotiated on an individual plant basis.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, what we're dealing with, what the big deal is this year is, national contract talks and the national agreement for the three companies. But yes, in addition to that, there are then local agreements, plant by plant, that the UAW has with each automaker.
What will be UAW President Bob King's role in this? Obviously, he doesn't negotiate contracts, but what role will he take on?
Well, I mean, I think Bob's, you know, I highlighted and profiled the six lead negotiators in Sunday's story, for the companies and for the UAW. But Bob will be overseeing the talks at all three automakers. And, you know, I think his role is to, even though Bob has admitted or acknowledged at times that the pattern bargaining has essentially gone by the wayside, you know, I think the UAW will still want something similar at all three companies. And his priorities, I think, are securing jobs and also trying to win back some concessions.
I thought the crux of what your article talked about, Brent, was, hey, the UAW wants to feel a little bit of the success. They want more job commitments, but they're not going to go bananas as we start seeing some success with Ford and GM.
Sure. Sure. And I think, and again, the central message from automakers is going to be, okay, UAW, you want jobs? We're competitive. We're getting to the point where we're closing the wage gap with the Asian automakers. We're getting close to being competitive. That's allowing us to add jobs. If you want more jobs, we can't go back to increasing our fixed labor costs. If you want to go down the road of increasing the fixed labor costs for the existing workers, that's fine. No more jobs. And that's the central tension this year.
We've been talking with Brent Snavely, who is the Detroit Free Press business writer, one of many great business writers. Brent, before we let you go, what are you going to be working on next?
I think there'll be some, a lot of my attention will still be on the UAW throughout July, August, and September, and hopefully by September it'll be wrapped up. But of course, I dive into anything automotive related as well.
All right. Thanks so much, Brent.
All right. Thanks.